Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Fantasy Baseball Hour.
Hey guys, are you at the bottom of your league? Ashamed of your small DFS account? Does your top pick swobo make the girls go, nah, bro? Then listen to the Fantasy Baseball Hour with Matt Stryker and Mike the Rotocop and turn your war into a roar.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Hour. I'm Matt Stryker alongside Mike the Rotocop. We are back in our old stomping grounds, the great Long Island podcast studio. And Mike, this is special because we have the man, Slick Nick, on the ones and twos doing the show. Nick, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you?
Doing great, man.
Yeah. Mike, you want to say something or you just want the show to be about Nick and I?
No, I was just thinking about Joe a little bit, you know? I'm happy to have you here, Nick, though. You'll be a good fill-in. I don't want to say the word replacement. You'll be a good fill-in.
Yeah, it's a big shout-out to Joe, who is being knighted right now. He's earned his tenure. As a former school teacher, I can tell you that tenure is something that every teacher earns, and I think a guy like Joe is going to continue to earn his tenure. A lot of people get tenure, and then they just sit on their cushy butts, and they don't try. Kind of like you.
I don't know about all that, but you said it before we got on air. Joe is a good guy.
Joe is a nice guy.
That is a perfect way to describe him. He's a nice guy. But we gave Nick a lot of responsibility in his fill-in role here.
That's right.
To give us some current events. What do you got for us, Nick?
Hey, today we got an AEW going on first.
AEW, three letters. I don't know if you're too happy to hear, are you?
Well, of course. I think the whole entire world is happy to hear. Those that don't know, that's All Elite Wrestling. They had a huge show this past weekend on Saturday. It streamed outside of the U.S. on Fight, inside of the U.S. on Bleacher Report. And a lot of people are incredibly excited. Did you watch the show, Mikey?
Of course I watched the show.
You did. You texted me the entire time.
I did watch the show. And when Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose, came out, that was definitely a highlight of my last, I'd say, 10 years of watching wrestling.
Really?
That might have been close to the number one spot there. And the Cody-Dustin Rhodes match was probably the best storytelling I've seen in at least 10 years. Maybe going back to HBK against Ric Flair, that would be the only thing I could think that would rival that.
So. And it's funny, you're not the first person to tell me that, watching AEW made them feel like how people felt during the Monday Night Wars, during ECW, during things like where you never know who is going to show up. It has become must-see TV, but I will float this out there. Someone in the industry, Vince Russo, posited the notion that WWE and AEW are working together.
I would hate it. I would hate it.
Of course you would, but stranger things have happened because people don't realize WWE was working with ECW and nobody knew.
Sami Zayn did mention AEW on air last night and people don't know if it was a shoot or not. That was one thing. Another thing, and I thought of you and I read this today, JR swears he didn't know that Dean Ambrose, now Jon Moxley, was coming out. And I was just thinking, what would Matt be doing announcing this match and Jon Moxley comes out from the crowd? What would Matt Stryker
say? Well, two things. One, I will say this. After working with JR and King, and this was something that was taught to me, you don't want to know because you want your reaction to be organic. You know, so you don't want to know. But if I was there, I think it would probably be the same reaction I had when Kevin Nash came out and Booker T came out. I would say, holy shit, this is a mark out moment. I'm marking out. Yeah. So I just think that not knowing is the beauty. It's kind of like this. Imagine if in baseball, everyone in the building knows, I'm making it up, it's a full count, it's Max Scherzer facing Bryce Harper. Everyone knows the fastball's coming, or at least you think it is, but you don't know, is Harper going to be able to connect on it? Maybe Scherzer throws him a change, things like that. I like not knowing. So I don't know, maybe JR was telling the truth there. Shout out to our sponsor, McDonald's, right here,
and
as I take
Dunkin'
a sip.
Dunkin' Donuts, yeah. Mm-hmm. The world runs on Dunkin'.
Yeah.
But that was a great show. I'm very excited to see what they do next. They're in Chicago. Hopefully CM Punk comes out.
And if, who?
CM Punk. Punk, and if he does, maybe you'll give me a little heads up so I could sound smart to some people.
I need the listeners to know. So Mike texted. So all weekend long, I was a part of something called StarCast, which a big shout out to Conrad Thompson and everyone that was a part of StarCast, just bringing people all around the world a behind the scenes look, all the podcasts, everything. Fight TV was a huge part of it as well. You were texting me the entire weekend. Hey, any surprises? Hey, anything I can know? What kind of friend would I be if I gave you spoilers?
I wasn't going to text you, but then you tweeted that you saw somebody backstage and that kind of...
I gave the hint, and people didn't realize that this would be a good surprise. And no one picked up that Moxley's real last name is Good, G-O-O-D-E, and that's why I threw it out
there.
Get
out of here.
And even you were just like, what do you mean, man?
That is incredible.
Yeah, no, I'm good
that
at some things.
That is incredible. Not one person said anything in the comments about that?
Nobody got it.
That is incredible.
They guessed, and some of them got Moxley, right.
You know, it's just time and time again, I don't give you enough credit.
I'm
sorry.
Continue to underestimate me,
my
friend.
That is incredible. Wow. There you go. Mind blown.
So we talk about AEW, talk about StarCast. Hey, Nick, what else we want to talk about here?
We also got the NBA Finals this week as well.
Okay, fair enough. Now, I thought that was going to be Golden State and the Bucks. I really did. It's interesting to me now. It's the Raptors and Golden State. To me, the biggest story here is... who's going to punch Drake in the face when he jumps up
Drake
on the court?
Fan. I don't know if you know that about me.
Yeah, okay, I do.
I'm a big Drake fan, which kind of makes sense to a lot of people when they know me. They always always say that makes sense. But I'm a big Drake guy, and I'm not a big Giannis guy. Let me ask you something. Do you think he's the best player in the NBA?
Currently?
Yeah.
No.
Second best player in the NBA?
Argument can be made, but
I'd
say he's top five.
Pushing it. The guy can't shoot. I could go, this isn't a basketball podcast, so I don't want to get into it all day, but there's no way he does more on a court than LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and I could even argue a couple more people. He's top five.
Is Steph Curry in there for you?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'd probably, at this point, you really can't deny what Steph's done. I'd have to think long and hard about it, but Steph, Harden, you could even throw Jokic in the mix. These are guys that I know a lot of people would take before Giannis, and I can't argue with it because Giannis can't shoot outside the paint. So that's just a whole nother podcast.
So here's the thing, though. People don't know where Golden State is. Do you know where
Bay
Golden
Area.
State is? Okay, do you know what that is?
California.
Specifically? Oakland, San Francisco.
Yes.
Okay, right. So now I've been to Oakland, and there's a promotion out there called Hood Slam. Okay, shout out to Drugs Bunny and all the guys over at Hood Slam. If Drake walked through downtown Oakland, Drake would come out pantsless, sneakerless, necklaceless, walletless. So I'm really, really intrigued to see what's going to happen when Drake is jumping up and down on the sideline, especially when the ball's in play.
Yeah.
That guy's really taking attention.
He's giving massages to the coaches.
You know what I mean? That stuff's kind of weird. So, but your prediction for the finals?
Golden State in... I'll give it six. Say Toronto wins at home. I'll give it six.
Yeah, I agree with you, too.
Yeah, so.
All right. Nick, we talked about AW, StarCast, the finals. What else we got on the list here?
I guess we're talking about Bill Buckner today as well.
So here's the thing about Billy Buckner. Rest in peace, Bill Buckner. So many people are going on social media and saying Bill Buckner was more than just the era in the World Series, yet every picture they post... is the ball going through Billy Buckner's leg, right? Bill Buckner, I think, has 2,700 career hits. I think he played for over 20 seasons.
22 years, hit 290, and ESPN tagged him as the guy who made the fateful error in 1986.
Well, that just goes to show that people will remember you for one thing. And that's all the way in social media. People go, oh, well, he said this and he said that. But look at the body of work. You know, and here's the other thing, too. Technically, that wasn't Billy Buckner's fault. Yes, the ball went through his legs, but a lot of people say that John McNamara was, all season long, was making late inning defensive replacements. I forget the guys. I want to say Stapleton or Singleton.
This was before my time. I just want to throw that out there.
This was before you were a glimmer in your daddy's eye. So Buckner shouldn't have been out there anyway. And I think what's great, how I remember Billy Buckner, is he and Mookie Wilson did this really cool sizzle reel kind of thing for MLB Network. And the thing is that Buckner and Mookie Wilson, for those who don't know, Mookie Wilson was the one that hit the ball, right? That goes through Buckner's thing. I think Ray Knight comes around to score. I can't remember. But so Buckner has an error. The ball rolls through his legs. It's a famous call. Behind the bag, it gets past Buckner. The Mets are going to win. So the video
is... At that moment, you knew you wanted to be an announcer.
I knew I wanted to be an announcer long before that, man. I was 7 years old just calling commentary in the kitchen. And now mom breaking up two eggs. Look at the way those eggs fall out of Matthew, quiet. But the video was really cool.
You have
cool.
a gift. You really did.
The video was really cool because things are thrown at Buckner like a flower pot. He catches it while he's talking to Mookie. And, you know, a car goes by and he catches whatever. And then a ball rolls at him and he goes to his feet and he looks at Mookie Wilson. They look at each other and they just start laughing.
That's
I think
funny.
It was funny of Bill Buckner to poke fun at himself. But rest in peace, Bill Buckner. Nick, what else we got before we get into the actual fantasy baseball stuff? Oh, yeah. Dustin Pedroia.
How about that? That's a Joe thing to say
well,
right
well,
there.
Well, that was Nick just looked at me and smiled. He did that on purpose because Pedroia is taking a little time away from baseball. Your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, he was great. He was great when I was growing up. He is 6 years after he signed the first ever 9-year deal for a second baseman now. And we don't know if he's ever going to play again, but he had that MVP season, that rookie of the year season. He was awesome growing up. Talk about a guy who plays hard, plays the right way. Kind of the Derek Jeter for Boston fans is how I describe Dustin Pedroia.
Fantasy ramifications now, even though Pedroia hasn't been a factor. Is there anyone out there on a waiver wire that maybe you go out and grab right quick? Or is this pretty much been commonplace since the beginning of the year? No surprise.
Yeah. If anybody's rostering Dustin Pedroia at this point, they're really holding out hope. So there's a bunch of other guys there to replace him. If you are rostering him, maybe if you're a guy like Joe who owns the average Joe's and drafted a Dustin Pedroia preseason, maybe something like that. But not many people have Dustin Pedroia on their roster at this point.
Actually, I think Tommy Dreamer may have drafted him, but that's a conversation for something entirely different. A guy that many people have probably had on their roster that now has been removed is Michael Givens. He's lost his job. Do you drop Michael Givens if you own him? What do you do?
Yeah, fantasy value, I don't think there's any left. I think they squeezed, or any owner squeezed what they could have out of Michael Givens at this point. They say it's just a command and confidence issue, but at this point, it means more for the Orioles because this would have been a nice trade chip at the All-Star break when they were how many ever games are going to be behind 500. This would have been nice for them. So if he could regain some confidence and command, like they say, that's what the issue is, they could turn him into some sort of prospect down the line. You never know who it is. I mean, Fernando Rodney got traded for Chris Paddock. So
I think Rodney just got DFA'd.
He did. He got released today. I think they called up Ricky Martini, if I'm not mistaken, one of the minor leaguers. But yeah, you never know what it could turn into, and you could get a Chris Paddock out of a guy like Michael Givens. Or even in Givens' case, he could turn it around with a new scenario. So we'll see what happens with him.
Michael Givens and the Orioles take away. So, Michael, we have not seen each other in a while.
No, we haven't.
You had a good weekend. You loved your AEW.
Oh, that's great.
How was your DFS stuff? Did you win any money?
DFS is going well. I won some money. It's actually funny. One of the guys I used to do a podcast with at Fantasy Benefits, we're still in a group chat together, so he always sends screenshots of his DFS, and he got his wife into it. His wife's like hooked now.
Nice.
So
divorce is coming.
So shout out to Colin Weatherwax.
Oh, nice.
So she won $4,000 yesterday. Came in fifth place in DFS, and she didn't win at all because I think he said the top guys had rostered Tommy Malone. And I don't know who's out there smart enough to roster Tommy Malone, but he went 5 innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts
yesterday.
That's
some inside information.
So I thought that was pretty funny. She won $4,000. I was like, wow, good for her. So shout out to Colin's wife on the Fantasy Baseball Hour.
On a flip side, I think I've mentioned this before. So I had a friend of mine, and his girlfriend would have all of his passwords. That's just how their relationship was. And they got into this huge fight, and it was during fantasy.
Why would he do that?
Well, he loved her, and she had trust issues, whatever. And during football season, they got into this huge fight. She went into his Yahoo football team and just dropped every good player that he had.
I think you might have told me this once before.
So I'm wondering now if Mrs. Weatherwax, let's just give her a name, the Bernice Weatherwax, is going to go in and kind of like see what Colin's playing and then try to like play against that. But $4,000 for Beatrice Weatherwax, congratulations.
Good
Does your
for
girl
her,
play
good
DFS?
Good for Colin. We tried last year. She got into it a little bit, but then she kept picking players that weren't playing, and then I had to stay on top of it, and so you got to replace them, and then I turned out making the replacements, and it just all went downhill from there because sometimes you know how it is. So she started losing, got frustrated, and now it's just me wasting all our money for DFS.
That's it. You don't want a frustrated partner.
No, definitely not.
Not at all. Well, speaking of people that are not frustrating us, we want to move into something called Is He For Real? And this is where...
Can you say it in the NBA Jam voice?
Is he for real? where Mike and I talk about a handful of players that I think some are playing over their head, but others might actually be for real, and they might be people that you want to go out there and try to pick up. For me, the first guy on the list, not only is this guy intriguing, but also his position is what's intriguing to me, because this position has been one of great annoyance for a lot of fantasy owners since the beginning. And now, as the season is beginning to really flush itself out, there are names that are emerging at the catcher position, Mitch Garver and things like that, even though I think he's still hurt or he may be coming off the DL. But this guy here for Oakland, Josh Fegley, I just think from a catcher's position, Mike, I posit the question to you. Is he for real?
Josh Fegley is definitely not for real.
No thanks.
Yeah, not for real, even though he is a catcher and he is hitting .282, 7 homers, 32 RBIs. His hard hit is in the 18th percentile, you know what it means.
I know what it means, but to the listeners out there, what the hell does hard hit mean?
82% of Major League Baseball is hitting the ball harder than Josh Fegley, and 86% of Major League Baseball has a better exit velo than Josh Fegley at 14th percentile. And he's having a real problem with breaking pitches. He's only hitting 150 against breaking pitches. So combine all that with a 3.8 walk percentage. I do not think Josh Fegley's for real. How about you?
Well, let me ask you something. As far as his hard hit rate goes, is there any correlation to the fact that the harder a ball is hit, the more likely it's going to go for a positive batted event?
At the end of the day, in most scenarios, yeah.
Okay, so based off of that, you're saying the fact that Fegley isn't hitting the ball hard tells you that there will be a regression coming and that the past couple of weeks are just, what, luck?
Especially in the power department. When if he's not hitting the ball hard, like we talked about with Barrels on last week's show, I think it was last Wednesday's show, Barrels are essentially exit velo plus launch angle.
Right.
So that's something Fegley's having trouble with. And if he's not getting the barrel on the ball, all his numbers are obviously going to dip. So guys that I like to call StatCast heroes that we'll get into, I think I got one or two of these on the list. He's definitely not one of them because his numbers are so below average in most of those StatCast categories that it's not going to translate to good results.
Now, every time I hear someone in wrestling, we call it bury, disparage a player, immediately the wrestler in me goes, do you think you could beat Josh Fegley in a fight? Like, I want Josh Fegley in studio, and I want you to tell him to his face,
what's up with
your hard hit rate, son? What's good with that exit velo, yo?
Maybe you could do the
This is you.
Is he for real? Do you think he's for real?
Fegley?
Yeah.
And then
now you're changing your tune because we're talking about getting him in studio.
Right, but I'm not going to disparage him. I'm just saying, is he for real? Right now, if you
the guy's a great player. He made it to the major leagues.
Okay, you made it to
everybody
the major
knows
leagues.
That. I'm not denying that.
But yeah, if you need a catcher and you have that open position where you can stream a guy, meaning hold on to him and then drop him, ride Fegley till he's hot. I'm big on riding guys until they're not hot anymore. Ride him till the wheels fall off.
Of course,
is what it is.
You want to hear some sick shit?
No, I don't. I want to finish my sentence,
right,
and then
it.
You can give me some sick
go
shit.
For it.
But you have to do it in hip hop.
No,
actually,
I can't do
if
that.
Nick can play a beat for us, the only sick shit that you can say is if you freestyle it off the top of your head.
I cannot do it.
Yo,
he's
what's
standing up now?
I won't stop. I'm Mike, the Roto Cop. Yeah. Who do you like? E40?
Was
that
a joke?
An era on the second baseman times 10?
No, he's from the Bay Area.
But as far as Fegley goes, he's not for real, but you can definitely roster him until he is no longer real, especially given the fact that catcher is such a position where from day to day, if you didn't draft Gary Sanchez, you know, what do you do?
So the sick shit I was going to say was...
No, you got to wait for the beat before the sick shit. I'm going to continue talking here then until that beat gets going. And
no
if
beat.
You do,
he's
if
the
you
fifth
do,
ranked
you know,
catcher.
No, hey, I'll just give you a beatbox, right?
I can't do it. I physically can't. I wish I could. I've watched 8 Mile over and over. I've tried. I cannot physically do it. Maybe you could spit around about Josh Fegley, but we could sit here for the hour.
What were you going to say?
Fifth-rated catcher? Josh Fegley is the fifth-ranked catcher in my Yahoo Pro 1000 league right now. How sick is that?
So what rhymes with league? Puig.
Puig.
So now give me something about fifth-ranked catcher in my Yahoo league.
Is this how you learn?
Something, 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 Yaziel Puig.
Who told you this? John Cena? I can't do it. I physically can't. I wish I could. This is making for bad radio because I can't. If they heard you freestyle right now, they'd think it was like the greatest thing ever. Anyway, Josh Fegley is fifth right now, ranked in the catcher.
Fifth now!
All right, can we move on?
He's the fifth rated catcher in the Yahoo League.
Yes.
That was your sick shit?
Yeah. How sick is that? The Josh Begley, who had a preseason ranking of 1,481, is currently ranked 245 ahead of Yadier Molina, Wilson Ramos, Omar Narváez, Mitch Garver, Jonathan Lucroy, Christian Vasquez. The list goes on and on.
I own two of those guys, actually.
Good for you.
I own Narváez and who else?
Do you want Garver. Me to name him again?
Garver. Listen, he got hit in the head for a living.
Mitch Garver is a free agent in this league.
All right. So, moving on. How about Brian Reynolds?
Brian Reynolds. I'm a big Brian Reynolds fan.
Is he for real?
The verdict is still out on Brian Reynolds. I can't give you... I cannot commit myself to he is for real or he's
non-committal
not for real
millennial. I'm shocked.
If I hear that fucking word again.
What, non-committal?
No,
did your
millennial.
Girlfriend tell you that? Oh, sorry. I'm a Dick. Millennial, too.
Aren't you like 45?
Not yet.
All right, anyway.
I act like I'm 14.
Brian Reynolds.
That's my girl. Yeah, go ahead. Brian Reynolds. Go ahead. Pittsburgh outfield. He's not Gregory Polanco. He's not Starling Marte.
And he has a 37.40 swing when the league average is 30.5. So he's swinging at the balls outside of the zone 37% of the time, which is way above league average. And believe it or not, when you swing outside the zone, you're not going to make as much contact in right. most cases. Swing and strike rate's 13%. League average is 11%. So obviously, not only is he swinging out of the zone, but he's also missing a lot of pitches, more than the average baseball player. He is hitting .320, 5 homers, 16 RBIs. He has limited playing time up until this point, but now he's getting everyday looks in the outfield.
Right.
He's another guy that struggles against breaking pitches. He's only hitting .105, and that's a key to keep that bat in the lineup in the major leagues. You're not just going to see fastballs every day. I don't care what slot in order you're hitting. Yeah. So if you can't deal with breaking pitches, eventually things are going to – once you start slumping against fastballs or off speed or whatever
right,
it is,
right.
you're going to have trouble. So he's a guy, StatCast-wise, who is actually – very good in the StatCast department. His hard hit percentage is in the 97th percentile, which is insane. And his exit velo is in the 89th percentile, which is insane too. It is a small sample because he's only had, I think, a little north of 100 at-bats. So the verdict's still out. Those
right.
StatCast numbers show me that there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as would I run to my waiver wire to get him, I would say
no thanks.
No.
Run, Michael, run.
I would say no.
In a world.
How do you do it?
In a world.
How do you do
where
it?
Where a counterterrorism police officer runs to the waiver wire. Oh, Brian man. Reynolds is the man that he runs to.
Negative. I do
fantasy
not run to
baseball
Brian
hour. Okay. Here's my thing with Reynolds as far as the position goes. I think there's a dozen other outfielders I'm going to look to try to get. I mean, if a Mercado's on my waiver wire or some of these other guys, I'm going to stay away from Reynolds. Pirates, meh.
Yeah,
to
I
me,
agree.
It's just not someone that I find sexy. This guy, though, coming up, is someone who is sexy. Like, wears nice perfume, high heels, has a nice calf. I like a nice calf. I grew up on a farm. But and I've rostered him in my
you
fan tracks league.
On a farm.
I did, yeah.
You grew up on a farm?
Mm-hmm. I'm Canada. I'm Western Canada. I grew up on a farm.
I can just tell by your face you're
yeah,
lying.
Absolutely. Do you know the place called Medicine Hat? That's where I learned to play hockey.
No, I did not.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
When you say you grew up there.
I grew up there.
Like from ages zero to...
I was 9.
Really?
Yeah.
So how did you get from Canada to Queens?
My father.
What was that? I'm saying what...
He said, come on, we're going to Queens. The whole family
why
moved
Queens,
and they wouldn't leave
why
me
why Queens?
Huh?
Why Queens?
My dad had a business that he owned and it got bought and it moved to Manhattan. So he didn't want to live in Manhattan. So we lived in one of the last suburbs of Queens called Bay Terrace, Bayside Queens, home of Dave Valley from the Seattle Mariners. Shout out to Bayside
my
Queens.
My dad played Little League Baseball against Dave Valley, I believe.
Way to make this about you.
No,
awesome.
Do you have dual citizenship?
Yeah, only if you could say
citizenship?
It again. Yes, I do.
You got to prove that after the show.
How do you want me to prove it, officer? Anyway, this guy I have rostered in my Fantrax league, and I've been contemplating whether or not to keep him, but he's not allowed me to make that decision, and that's Avisal Garcia, who I think is for real.
Wait, for real? For real?
I totally agree with you, and this kills me because I wrote an article before the season started about how this signing, Avi Garcia to Tampa, meant absolutely nothing for the Rays, and it was a horrible move, and it got like 100 comments, and people are going insane. Some people were saying they agree, some people were saying they don't agree. It became this whole big thing, and now I look back on it, and I just can't believe these numbers that he's putting up. He's hitting .279 with 9 homers, 22 RBIs. The guy has 6 stolen bases.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you the good. The good is his expected batting average is in the 88th percentile, which is obviously a high number, like I was talking about before. His ex-slugging, 92nd percentile, ex-wOBA, 89th percentile. That all sounds great. His ex-sprint, I don't even know how this is possible. His sprint speed is in the 90th percentile. You're telling me Avi Garcia's 9 out of 10 faster than 9 out of 10 guys in Major League Baseball?
He may just be getting a better jump.
he definitely knows how to run the bases. Something changed. Something changed with Abby Garcia in his profile. But he's still the free swinger that led him down the road to all the problems that he's encountered in the past. His O-swing is 40.2%. League average is 30. So he's swinging at balls outside the zone at an insane rate. And his swing and strike rate is 19%, which is the highest I've seen. And pretty much since we've been doing this Is He For Real thing in the last couple of weeks, this is the highest I've seen it. 19% swing and strike rate? That's insane. How many whiffs does he actually have? I should have looked that number up. His contact percentage is lower than league average as well, almost by 12%. He's hitting his contact percentage is 64%. The league average is 76%. So it's crazy to say he is for real, but I think I'm going to take an L on this one and go against my whole article and what I posted on Reddit, and I'm going to say he is for real. I actually believe in the StatCast numbers here. He's what you would consider a StatCast hero.
Look at that. So Mike is used to taking the D, but today he takes the L. Avisa Garcia, I think it's definitely the team. I think guys go to Tampa and think that organization. It's what?
Infectious?
Okay. The organization is I had no idea, actually. I never know with you when you try to speak English. I think the organization really does great things. Like, Avisa Garcia is a professional hitter, and we're just a few days outside of June. And as of right now, Avisa is certainly a guy that if you have him or he's out there on your wire, there are worse choices you can make. We'll revisit this in a couple of weeks and see what's going on. But right now, I like Avisa Garcia. Here's a guy that you and I talked about, and next to his name, I have Who Cares? And that's Sean Armstrong. Your thoughts on Sean Armstrong?
People care, man. When you're talking about saves, people go crazy for saves.
This is true.
People really go crazy for saves. And we talked about Mykal Givens losing the job earlier in the show. There's not really a set closer in Baltimore.
Right.
It could be Blyer, Fry, Castro. It could be any of these guys any day.
It could be you.
Armstrong got the first crack at it. Could be me.
Could be you. Definitely could be you.
How fast can you throw a baseball?
Me? Yeah. I've topped out at like 80.
Really?
Yeah, not anything special. What about you?
That's not bad. Probably a little less.
Yeah. Well,
you're a big guy, though.
No, I'm definitely more athletic than you. But anyway, Sean Armstrong. That's not what she said. All right, Sean Armstrong. Yes or no? Is he for real? Should people go out and grab him?
Sean Armstrong, I would not go grab him. He is not for real. Not because his numbers don't say so, but more because he's a Baltimore Orioles relief pitcher.
No thanks.
All right, on the line with us right now is a very, very special guest, courtesy of Mike the Rotocop. I'm a big Fantrax guy. I'm a big prospect guy, but nobody is any bigger than our guest right now. You can find him at EricCross04. Eric Cross. Eric, what's going on? It's Matt Stryker. How are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Mike, say hi.
Hey, what's going on, Eric? Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Mike. Hey, thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, it's our pleasure. So Mike and I were just running down guys if we thought they were for real. We just ended with Sean Armstrong, and both of us just basically realized that he's a Baltimore Oriole relief pitcher, so unless you're chasing saves, he's really not someone that you should run out to on your waiver wire. But what I want to talk to you about is all of these call-ups. So many people in so many fantasy leagues are just clamoring for people. Can you talk to us a little bit about – well, let's start with Mitch Keller. A lot of people went out and grabbed Mitch Keller. He looked like he came out of a little league game. They sent him back down today. Is Keller a guy that people should roster? Will he be back up?
Yeah, he should be back. Yeah, that first inning was disastrous. he just looked like he was just like overthrowing things. He was looked like a little bit of jitters out there. But that's a good example of we've been spoiled really with all these prospects coming up over the last few years and just basically dominating right away. And that doesn't always happen, as evidenced with Keller. But he settled down after that first inning. He looked really good the rest of the way. He gave up a run after that first. He kind of looked like he was kind of getting in his groove. So, then back down. He should be back up fairly soon. I mean, he's basically, done everything he can in the minors to show that he's ready for the major leagues. He's a future kind of number two type starter. Got a really good fastball and curveball. Changeup's a work in progress, but it's at least serviceable number three. Gets a lot of ground balls, so he's kind of like I kind of compare him to like a Kyle Hendricks, statistically, kind of a guy that's just like you're never going to be excited about owning Kyle Hendricks on your team, really. But he's going to be post solid ratios at the end of the day, right around strikeout per inning. So. Depends how deep your league is right now. Dynasty definitely needs to be rostered. He's one of the top, 20 starting pitching prospects in baseball. But for the 2019 redraft leagues, if you got room, I'd stash him. So he should be back up fairly soon. I'd say within the next month or so. But if you're in a shallow league, you can probably let him go and pick him back up later on.
Yeah, and we might see him sooner than later because as of 7:54 p.m., Jordan Lyles was removed against the Reds due to an apparent injury. Aww. So Keller might be packing his bags to go down today and then packing them to come right back up. So we'll see what happens there. I was just curious, how long have you been doing fantasy baseball?
I've been playing since I was a kid, so probably talking like the early 2000s or so.
All right, so you've been around for a long time in the fantasy industry. Have you ever seen back-to-back weeks or a two-week period where this many prospects have got called up at once?
I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, my boss at Fantrax, Tim Wagner, he came to me one day and he's like, you know, I want to start doing, you know, like quick little prospect videos, like one-minute videos, telling people why you know they should be, you know, picking these guys up or not. And then, like, that very next day, you came to me, like, late at night. Next day, Keston Hiriak gets called up. Yeah. Day after that, Austin Riley. Day after that, Brendan Rodgers. I was doing, like, videos back-to-back-to-back days. You know, and then we had that wave earlier in the season. It's ridiculous, you know. It's like once one guy gets called up, the floodgates open, and five or six more get called up. So yeah, it's been fun to watch. Though, you know, as a prospect guy, it's great, you know. It's been a ridiculous start to the season. It really has.
This provides a ton of content for guys like you, and it provides a ton of value for guys like me and Matt, who are really scouring the waiver wire to pick these guys up before anyone else gets to them. One guy I wanted to talk about who's making his debut right now. He's an inning in. He had a strikeout in the first inning. Is Zach Plesac? What do you got for us on Zach Plesac? Is he worth a speculative ad?
Yeah, he's not quite, you know, on Mitch Keller's level, but you know, he's kind of one of those back end like workhorse starters. Guy that's just got to eat up a lot of innings, post, you know, decent but not spectacular numbers. Doesn't strike out a bunch of guys. He throws fairly hard, low to mid 90s, and gets like 96 sometimes. But he doesn't really have any really good, you know, doesn't have any good breaking balls. Changeup is mediocre at best. So he's not going to be a guy that's got to go out there and just like rack up 10, 11, 12 Ks an outing. But he's no set of pitch. He mixes his pitch as well. And he has really good command, which really helps, you know, when you have a kind of a lackluster overall arsenal like Plesac has. You know, you got to hit your spots, and he certainly does. He kind of reminds me of like a poor man's Shane Bieber. Kind of just not going to walk a lot of guys, doesn't really blow you away, but you know, probably post solid ratios and eat up a bunch of innings. So he's kind of like a number four, number five type starter. I'd add him in deeper leagues, you know, like 16 plus teams or, you know, AL only leagues. He's definitely a good target there.
That's a lot to live up to, even being a poor man Shane Bieber, the way Bieber's pitching these days.
Yeah, what I love that you do, Eric, is when you tell me that this player is like someone that the average fan can relate to. To me, that's so important because we hear all these names, and if you don't have any frame of reference, you really don't have anything to go off of. So I tip my Montreal Expos cap that I'm wearing to you on
nice.
That. Yeah, it's an old one. It's all beaten up too. I want to go to Toronto. Everyone's obviously talking about Vladdy, and I made some moves to pick up Kevin Biggio, who I think just took an IL stint. Is that right? Or I know he sat today.
He's sick. I heard he was sick.
Yeah. All right. So two things. One, the whole thing surrounding Biggio is everyone's clamoring for him. Is he that great? Should you run out and get him? Also, when Bo Bichette comes up, if he comes up, who's a better pickup if I could only pick up one?
Yeah, if you only pick up one, I'd still go with Bo Bichette.
Okay.
Biggio is good. I think everyone gets lost in the fact that, you know, his father's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, he's a very, very good player. But he's not the caliber of a Vladdy or a Bichette or a Keston Hiriak, even Austin Riley, guys like that. He's gotten a lot better over the last couple of years. He's added some power. He started hitting more fly balls the last couple of years. Went from 11 home runs in 2017, and he hit, I think, 26 last year. Got a little bit of speed too. He's a bigger guy too. He's got a little bit of speed as well. I would definitely be adding him right now. The fact that he can. It's give you a little bit of everything. You know, he's got a really strong walk rate. So, like, if you're in an OBP league, mm-hmm. you know, gets a nice little boost there. He's probably not more than, like, a 260 to 270 hitter in the long run. But, like I said, he probably has, like, a 360 to 370 OBP to go along with that. So, he can add, you know, like I said, probably he's, like, a 20 to 25 home run guy long term. Can add double-digit steals with that as well. And I think the big thing, too, is, like, he can play – he's mostly a second baseman, but he's played some first, some third, got some look in the outfield last year on the Arizona Fall League. So
you know, that flexibility should keep him in the lineup, you know, fairly regularly. So if he still is available, he can just give you a little bit of everything, hit for average, hit for power, hit for speed, or steal some bases. So I'd definitely be adding him, but you got to pick between him and Biggio. Bichette. Mm-hmm. Bichette's the real deal. He's one of the top 10 prospects in all of baseball. This guy can hit 300. He can steal 30 bases. He can hit 20 home runs. You know, down the road, he's got still got more power. He hasn't hit for that much power yet, but definitely more power on that bat. And I've seen all these guys a lot. Their double A, Toronto's double A team is about 2 hours from my house, so I get up there a lot. So a lot of these guys last year when they were all there. For a good portion of the season, so definitely Biggio definitely be a solid long term player, but nobody that you're gonna be the reason why you're in first place or something like that.
Yeah, and like you said, you get to those games a lot and stuff. There's a difference between guys in our industry who actually go to the games and guys who are scouting from their couch. Not that there's anything wrong with that in certain cases, but it's nice to have you on to talk about your experiences when you've seen these guys play in person, because that's an element that you can't really replicate. I want to, me and a lot of other fantasy baseball players out there, managers, are wondering who you would rather have, Josh Naylor or Kevin Cron?
That's a good question. They're pretty similar players when you just look at their raw skills. I lean slightly over towards Kevin Cron. I really like the adjustments he's made. He's always had the power. He's always been like on pace for 30 plus home runs every year in his minor league career. But he used to be average was inconsistent. He had to get like 220 something back in 2016. But over the last three years, including this year at AAA, he's really been more patient, been waiting to drive the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
His walk rate's way up this year. To a career high rate. And, it's really paid off. He hit, I think, 21 home runs in 44 games. Yeah, the Pacific Coast League is a notorious hitter-friendly, league, yeah. But 21 home runs in 44 games, you got to be impressed no matter how hitter-friendly the league is. He's a guy, he can hit for a solid average now, too. Like I said, he's really been more patient, he's cutting down the strikeouts. So, Naylor... I go back and forth on how I feel about Naylor. He's always had, watch him in batting practice. He'll just, be peppering balls over the fence in right field. But that power has been more batting practice power than he hasn't really shown that power a lot in games yet. He hasn't even hit 20 home runs in a minor league season yet. It's still in there. I think he can be a 25 home run guy long term, but then you got to factor in how does Petco Park play into that. Mm-hmm. So, for this year, long term is closer. I still give the edge to Cron. This year, definitely Cron, just due to the fact neither one has a really consistent path to playing time. Naylor's been playing the last week or so since he got called up as a DH, and they had six straight games in AL Parks. But after this little stint is over, who knows where he's going to play? Hosmer's making too much money to bench, unless he just totally goes in the tank. They're not going to bench Eric Hosmer, so. Yeah. And then they have like seven outfielders they've been trying to find time for. So I don't really know how Naylor fits into their plans in the short term. I said when he got called up that if he just hit really well in this little American League stint when he was DHing, that maybe he'd cut into Hunter Renfro's playing time, who had been kind of struggling over the last 3-4 weeks. But he hasn't really done that. He's hit like four hits and 17 at bats or something like that. But I don't think he's played. He's probably headed back down, especially, a lot of these Padres outfielders starting to get healthy, so or getting close to coming back. So, I don't see 2019, I don't really see a lot of value in Naylor, but long term, he hits for a decent average too. Like a 270, 280 guy, 25 home runs, just you might need a trade out of San Diego to make that happen.
There you go. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I mean, it's almost as an embarrassment of riches down there, and if they can swing a deal, they certainly. It just seems that's one of the fun teams to watch. So I have the MLB package, and I'm in New York. So anytime Padres games are on, those games are on late, and I really love to sit down. I open up honestly a whole entire box of Oreos and a jug of milk. And back when I was in college, I would just do bong hits and watch baseball. So now that I'm older, it's just it's Oreos and milk because Mike is a police officer.
hard.
Nobody does drugs. Speaking of doing drugs, I have a friend of mine in one of my Yahoo leagues. He's a huge Angels fan. He has stashed Joe Adell for as long as I can remember. And my conversation with him was that I don't think we're going to see Adell this season until maybe September. Your thoughts?
That's exactly right. Nice. I had that question asked to me today on Twitter. And, you know, especially, you know, early in the season, before Adell had that leg injury that worried me. It looked like he was going to be out for the entire season when that happened. But back then, there was a shot, you know, as for September. Now I think it's almost, I'm not putting it as 0%, but, you know, unless, like, the way I see him, Adell, playing into 2019 plans is, if he's just going full beast mode in the minors, which he definitely could do, he's got that skill. But, and then also the Angels would probably need to be in playoff contention, which is not a very common occurrence over the last decade or so. But it could happen. But, you know, I think at the latest, as long as, you know, things go according to plan this year, doesn't get injured, keeps progressing like he has, I think we should see him fairly early in 2020, maybe opening day. Maybe they play the service time card. Who knows? But the upside, like, your buddy has been right to stash this guy. The upside is just massive. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I think I said earlier today that no hitting prospect has the same combination of power and speed as him. Like, mm-hmm. You combine his projected home runs and steals at peak Adell, you know, levels. Nobody in the minor leagues can match it. You know, he could be a 30-30 guy, freakishly athletic, so much raw power. I would love to. I've been stashing him in a few leagues too, even leagues that you have to have him on the bench spot and kill a bench spot. And so I'd love to see him in 2019, but I'd put that at like 5% chance or less.
All right, not bad. Okay, I am in a Fantrax Writers League. My team auto-drafted, so I'm currently in 11th place, and I'm embarrassed to even show my face. If I had to pick up two of the following people, who would it be and why? Honeywell, Lizardo, Mountcastle, Puck, Yordan Alvarez.
So two of those. So Alvarez would definitely be one of them.
Sure.
He should be.
That was the easy one.
Everyone's asking, you know, where is he going to play? Is,
right.
You know, Tucker going to be up first? But the thing is, you know, Alvarez can, you know, play first base as well. He's not a great, wherever you put him, he's not a great defender. Mm-hmm. But that bat is so special. They're going to make room for him.
Yes.
Likely he'll probably play at DH if Tyler White continues absolutely nothing like he has so far this season. So definitely would Alvarez be one of them. Outside of that, the second one, I'm tempted to say AJ Puck because he was, you know, he's still recovering from Tommy John, but he was fairly close before and he's almost back now. So I think he could provide some value in like August, September. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, you know, Honeywell keeps having setbacks. Like now he's dealing with a nerve issue in the shoulder, which, you know, who knows with that, you know, I have nerve issues in one of my shoulders, but, you know, it's no fun, and I'm not a major league pitcher or a minor league pitcher. So, you know, Mountcastle is an interesting one, though. Yeah. Like, he's another one that he's not the flashiest guy in the world. Doesn't have huge power. He's not going to hit over 300, but he's kind of like, you know, for comparison, like maybe a poor man's Keyboom, Carter Keyboom, that might be, you know, not doing Mountcastle as much justice as he deserves, but he's kind of like a 270 to 280 hitter, you know, 20 to 25 home run power, and he's fairly close too. He's been playing fairly well this year in the upper minors, so Baltimore doesn't really have much in his way. So, you know, maybe he'll Mountcastle for that second one. He should be up within the next month or two, I'd say.
Wow, no Lizardo love. Wow, look at that.
It's funny. I really love Lizardo, but again, he's another one, like, he keeps getting pushed back. And,
yeah.
I forget who it was. It was one of the writers for the Athletic out in San Francisco, or someone's out there in Los Angeles. But he might not even be back or up until like August. So I just don't see. And he's, you know, he was shut down early last year as well. And I still think Oakland's been really babying him over the last couple of years. So I just don't know if, you know, long term, it's one of the top pitching prospects in the minors. You know, super high. It could be the next, like, Madison Bumgarner type of pitcher.
Wow.
But for 2019,
no.
I don't know. I just don't see a lot of value there.
Yeah, all right. Eric Cross from Fantrax on the line. Eric, before we let you go, you saw these three following pitchers in person. I just want a quick comp for each of these guys before you sign off here. Casey Mize, Nate Pearson, and Matt Manning.
Man, this was a fun. That was a fun week getting to see three of the top 10 pitching prospects all in like a 5-day stretch. Even if Pearson only went 2 innings in his start, but Mize. So I saw Mize first, and he's the one I'm highest on. He's my top pitching prospect in baseball. He's past Forrest Whitley. He's past Luzardo in my mind. I really like those guys, but Mize, he has everything you could want in an ace pitcher. I've compared him to this is a lofty comparison, because this guy's been one of the best pitching guys over the last 15 years, but Justin Verlander.
Wow.
Maybe not quite as high on the strikeouts, but he's just a guy. He's a workhorse. He knows how to pitch. The dynamic arsenal doesn't walk many guys. Now, he's going to be a guy that's going to be throwing you, 200 plus innings, 200 plus strikeouts, probably low ratios.
Yeah.
So he's definitely one that, if I was to start a team and could take any pitching prospect in the minors, maybe taking Casey Mize probably.
Wow, that is a glowing endorsement from Eric Cross. You can find Eric. He's a great follow, at EricCross04. And before we let you go, give a little love. I'm a Cardinal fan. Just tell me how great Alex Reyes is going to be once he's back up.
Yeah, I love Reyes. I've loved Reyes for a while. Between the head needs a little work. Obviously, he's lightly just a little, punching the wall. At least he did it with his non-pitching hand, so give him a little credit for that, I guess. Silver lining, you want to call it that. But, he's got, obviously he throws like 100. So curveball is electric.
Seriously.
Changeup's been, gotten better and better every year. If he can just, stay healthy, keep his head on his shoulders, he's got super high upside. Like, I'd put him, he's right there with the Forrest Whitleys, Casey Mize. He's right behind them. I'd take Mize over him, but he's a super high upside. He just needs to keep his head on straight, stay healthy, just kind of get to a groove. That's the thing, he hasn't been able to get to a groove yet.
Right.
Every time he starts throwing together a couple starts in a row where he's looking really good, then something happens. He gets injured, punches a wall, whatever it may be. So he can just get into a groove and show what he can do. Yeah, he's going to be a really good pitcher for a long time.
All right. Last thing, and honestly, I love guests like you that really just go into detail to give the listener someone that they haven't been thinking of. So I really do appreciate your time and your knowledge. Last thing, is there someone out there that if you can stash them right now is going to pay immediate dividends in the next 2 months? Who would that be?
Oh, in the next 2 months?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. I got a lot of long-term thoughts here.
I have one good question a year, and I save it for you.
So we kind of covered a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
A guy who's been really, start the year, he wasn't really high on a lot of, a lot of prospect lists, but Zach Gallen, the Miami Marlins, he's just been absolutely dominating in AAA. And he's not a guy, he doesn't have a high upside. Like, I've been talking about, the top pitching prospects, and people have been like, oh, where's Zach Gallen? I'm like, okay, he's not on Whitley's level. He's not on Luzardo's level yet, but he isn't that type of arsenal. But he's just really, really solid, really good command, mixes his pitches well. He could be a really, really good middle of the rotation guy for a long time. And the only thing is, he's not on the Marlins 40-man roster yet, so they got to make a move there. But they can DFA someone to the Marlins. They don't have much going on down there. So he should be up, I'd say, before the All-Star break, and be a big pitching ad for the second half of the season.
All right, there you go. That's awesome. Eric Cross. And folks, if you're not familiar with Fantrax, please go check them out. I'm in a couple of their leagues. It really is fantastic. Anything else you want to add before we let you go, EC?
Just check out Fantrax. We've been kind of building up our content over the last couple of years, been really putting out a lot of good stuff. So, I write 3 articles a week, Waiver Wire, Dynasty, and Prospects. So I'm going, check it out. Head on over to Fantrax.
All right. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks
so
for coming on, Eric.
Much for your time. We truly appreciate you. That's Eric Cross. Follow him at EricCross04. Thanks, Eric. We'll talk to you, man.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Mike, man, let me tell you something, bro. For all of my absolute hatred of you, you seriously get some really good guests. How did you get Eric?
How did I get him?
You just bothered him on Twitter.
I just kept asking.
Straight up.
Hey, can you be on the show? Hey, can you be on the show? No, Eric's a good guy. I've been following him on Twitter for a while now. He gets a ton of prospect questions every day, so it's some good insight. If you don't follow him already, at EricCross04, and he'll answer your question if you send it. So definitely send something over to Eric if you have any prospect questions.
Nice. That's really good. I think that segment right there helps so many listeners because everyone is out there on the guys that they know. I mean, it doesn't take, you don't need me or you to tell you that, hey, go get Paul Goldschmidt. And all, you know, he's owned in 100% of leagues. But he's given you some really good, interesting stuff. And to me, working the waiver wire is how you win your leagues outside of drafting well. And you and I have talked about this. Don't look at me like that. I will stab you in the eye with a pen.
Because you said you don't need us for something, but you do need us to tell you to go pick up Marcus Walden. How's that for a segue?
Oh, God. All right. So forget what I was saying. Why should we go pick up Marcus Walden? Michael?
Because he's only 32% owned and he has 34 strikeouts in 30 innings. He has 6 wins. Like your boy John Gant, he's racking up the wins.
Yeah, but does Walden have a path to play every day? Is he, have the, is he the
Walden
guy that's
going to be in the back of the bullpen and might work himself into saves? He just got his first save the other day.
It's him. He's
throwing 4 pitches that are all pitch values above 1. His cutter has a pitch value of 5.9.
What does that mean?
That means it's a very valuable pitch if
Thank
it's at
you.
A 5.9.
Remember,
if it's positive.
Your mom is listening. She has no idea what pitch value means.
Marcus Walden is a guy that you should definitely keep an eye on. If you need saves, I would go out and get him before he starts getting saves because that's the next step in
nice.
The evolution of him. His peripherals are all average or above average, and the opportunities are going to be there. He has a 14.1 swinging strike rate. So like we said earlier, for hitters, same for pitchers, that 11 is the league average. So he's getting his whiffs. He's getting guys to chase. The cutter's insane, almost a 6 pitch value so far. Even the slider has a 2.3. So he's been great, 1.48 ERA this year. His whip's on a 0.79, which is awesome. So he won't be 32% on for long. Another guy that is 33% on that won't be there for long is Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So if he's still on your waiver wire, I'd go grab him. He did hit 159 in 11 games to start the year, got sent down, came back, worked on his game, and now he's back. He's 7-14 with 3 homers since he's been back. And he handles himself pretty well with breaking pitches and off-speed stuff. So playing every day in a good Blue Jays lineup, he's an intriguing buy low.
So here's the thing, and it all depends on who's on the waiver wire in your league. A lot of times I'll get with friends. I'll say, hey, let me see your waiver wire in your league. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's available. That guy's available. And then I go to some of my leagues that, I mean, most of my – I'm in 12-team leagues, usually mixed with some pretty pretty tough, you know, fantasy owners. The waiver wire is just like, nah. I don't know what nah is spelled like, but it's just like, ugh. So I'm looking in one of my leagues right now, and the waiver wire consists of – Zach Eflin, Marco Gonzalez, Leclerc is on there. He should get his job back. Chironos, I think, is a guy that people should go out and maybe grab. I think he's played in 12 of the last 14 games for that ball club with Stassi on the bench or on the injured list. So that's interesting to me. Miguel Sano is available in a couple of my leagues. John Gant is available, who you mentioned. And the reason why I like Gant is because he has SBRP eligibility, which means you can throw him out there every day. He won't eat up your innings. He can get you saves. He can get you peripheral, which means that he can help your stats and things like that. So those are a couple of guys that I'd be looking at on my wire. Is there anyone else on your wire that you like?
Yeah, you should check if Kevin Kiermaier is available. He's only 14% owned, so he should be available in your leagues. He has 9 stolen bases, 5 homers, and 240. This was a guy that was supposed to be a perennial 15-15 guy.
Right.
Injuries got in the way. His hard hit rate's the highest it's ever been in his career. His exit velo is the best it's been in his career. And he's a great source of steals for one of the fastest guys in the game. And he's playing every day in a good Rays lineup that is infectious, like I said earlier, with Avi Garcia.
Look at Mike
so
using words.
Kiermaier, if that average goes up a little bit, he's going to be very valuable. Definitely not 14% owned. He should be way higher than that at this point.
You know, this time last year, he would not be on waiver wires. I mean, that to me is just
Kevin Kiermaier.
Yeah, that's huge. Also, a guy that I like, and I just had his name in my head, and then because I used to get hit. Ramil Tapia.
Yeah.
He's hitting at the top of that Rockies lineup. And
Blackman on the DL.
And
yeah.
Blackman goes on the DL. I think Tapia is definitely a good guy that you can try to go out there and get as well. Now, Mike, you and I, we're insane, right? We're invested financially in our fantasy leagues. We're invested financially in our DFS stuff. Mm-hmm. And you have to take this information and understand that it's valuable. Because if you have information, that's why I don't understand why people do not play daily fantasy sports. The information is there for you. We're basically saying, here's money. Take it. And you're going, no, I don't like it. I get it. But if you listen to this show, or you just basically go on the internet and just do a cursory search, a very basic search, you can really get information, especially in daily fantasy. For instance, recording right now, I think, are the Angels playing the A's? Is that the?
Angels, A's, you ask.
I ask this.
The Angels are currently at Oakland, yes.
Okay, so Shohei Ohtani's numbers against, I want to say it's a sinker ball or a breaking ball that Frankie Montas throws like 40-something percent of the time, mm-hmm. are astronomical. So if you just do that kind of search and you see which Angels hitters do well against a particular pitch that a starting pitcher of their opponents has a propensity to throw, you now have math on your side. And you cannot deny math. I mean, honestly, think about it. If it tells me Mike the Rotocop throws a fastball 88% of the time and Matt Stryker crushes fastballs 96% of the time, you don't have to hit me over the head to tell me that you need to take Matt Stryker when Mike the Rotocop's on the mound.
You know, you know what you need?
What do I need, Mike?
You need a blackboard, a piece of chalk, and a sweater vest. That's
you think so? Need. You think that'll work?
Maybe a ruler. What did you use? A ruler or a pointer? What did you use?
I don't know. Why don't you ask your girl what I use? Oh! Yeah, it worked for 10 years in WWE, but now I'm here now. Mike, some DFS stuff for you. Let's talk about it for Thursday and for Wednesday and Thursday. I don't know. It's my first day on this planet, so I don't know. Let's talk about Wednesday DFS, Thursday DFS. Go.
Yeah, I got a little nugget for each day. Wednesday,
I got a little nugget for you too, pal.
Exactly like you said about fastballs. So
shocking.
The Tampa is facing
the Tampa. Are you my grandma?
Did I say the Tampa?
The Tampa.
Tampa is facing the Blue Jays, and they're pitching Trent Thornton tomorrow. This is for Wednesday,
right.
And he's going lefty righty against guys like Austin Meadows and Brandon Lowe. Austin Meadows, who's hitting 350 this year, which is insane to me.
Yes.
He's really been awesome. 357. If he's not an all-star, they got some serious issues. But he's in 357 against right-handed pitching, 350 on the year, I think it was. Brandon Lau's hitting 284 against right-handed pitching. And the key here, like you mentioned, is Thornton's throwing a four-seam cutter, slider, curve. That four-seam he's throwing 45% of the time. And while it's a decent pitch, Austin Meadows is hitting 383 against four-seamers, and Brandon Lau's hitting 314 against four-seamers. So if you want to stack Tampa or even stack Meadows and Lau as your key cornerstones to your DFS lineup tomorrow, I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
So, or today, whatever this recording comes out. Starling Marte on Thursday is going against Chase Anderson. Mm-hmm. He's 13 for 27 in his career, hitting 481. Two homers, five stolen bases, an OPS of 1422, which is well above 1,000, which means it's awesome. Chase Anderson has been good, but he has a career ERA at PNC Park, which is over a 4, and Marte has his number. So it seems logical to play Marte there. And then on Friday, I got another stack here. It's the Houston Astros against Oakland and Mike Fiers.
Sure.
I know it's not, you don't got to be a genius to stack the Astros against Mike Fiers. But particularly Alex Bregman and Michael Brantley both have success against Fiers. Bregman's 3 for 5 with the homer. Brantley 7 for 22. Fiers' only plus pitches is changeup, and Brantley's hitting 295 against changeups this year. And if Bregman can lay off that changeup, he should make some hard contact as well. So those are the picks for this week. Meadows and Lau for Wednesday, Starling Marte for Thursday, and Bregman and Brantley for Friday.
All right. So now as far as DFS goes, and I know the IRS isn't listening, but if they are, look, I won't lie. I'm plus the money for the entire season. I'm doing quite well. And one of my rules is to not overthink it. I like to keep it simple, stupid. Kiss. So basically, that's Kiss. So if I see like Nolan Arenado is doing well against Robbie Ray, I'm going to spend for Nolan Arenado. I don't need to overthink this and try to get cute. The other night, someone was telling me that they didn't play Malik Smith because he was in the 9 hole and they want to overthink it. And what did he do in one inning? I think he amassed like 30-something DFS points because he stole second, third, and home.
Mm-hmm.
So don't overthink it. So I like Nolan Arenado on Wednesday. I also like Whit Merrifield on Wednesday as well. I just think that they may seem obvious, but you're not going to get, you know.
You're really thinking outside the box here.
Yeah, you're not going to get sneaky sexy. Don't get that way with your money. because that's how you lose your money when you outthink yourself. Another guy that I like, if he plays, would be Gregory Polanco. I know that DeScalfani is the hot guy right now, but maybe a little pirate stack of Polanco and Bell might be interesting. Even an Anthony Rendon against Kevin Gausman. Again, I'm not telling you anything that you need to be hit over the head with. It's just, to me, don't outthink yourself. On the next day after that Thursday, I also have Starling Marte against Chase Anderson. I just think that that works. Kendrys Morales has good numbers against Chris Sale if Morales plays. What else?
I'd stay away from that one, though.
Why?
Chris Sale has a point to make, especially against the Yankees.
Interesting point. And I'm beyond that, nothing else really is crazy for me, although I am a Cardinal fan, and I do like Ozuna's numbers against Eichhoff, even though I don't know where Ozuna fits. And again, you have to take all these things with a grain of salt. Check if these people are playing. That, to me, is the biggest thing, because if they're not playing, they cannot win you any cashish. Speaking of cashish, officer, do you have anything to make change out of?
Fantasy Baseball Hour, Twitter, at Fantasy BB Hour, at Mike the Rotocop on Twitter. And every Thursday, you can find my DFS article at pitcherlist.com.
Yeah, I like your articles. I read them quite a bit. I think they're chock full of information, as was this episode. A big thanks to Eric Cross, EricCross04, at EricCross04. Check out our good friends over at Fantrax. We have given you today names of guys that, if you're listening, go on your waiver wire right now, see if they're there. If you're DFSing right now, open up your FanDuels, open up your DraftKings, make those lineups. Put in one, put in two, and then hit us up at Fantasy BB Hour. Hit me up at Matt_Striker_. Screenshot and show us you're winning or show us you're losing. Things like that, because it inspires other people to do it. And remember this, if you're not out there taking this information and making money, trust me, someone else is. Nick, anything you want to say before we go, my friend? No, Nick just shook his head at me and put up his middle finger. That's why I like Nick. Mike, always a pleasure. I'm glad we're back here on our old stomping grounds.
Yes, sir.
To everybody out there, to all our friends over at the Fantasy Sports Network, to all our friends and family all around the world, we say good luck, be safe, have fun. We'll see you out there.